The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Everybody, it's another Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970 The Answer. We got a great show for you tonight. There's plenty of places you can follow me on social media. If you haven't figured it out by now, I can't help you. I can a little bit. Instagram at Gattulo, GATTULLO. Twitter at Al Gattulo. Speaking of Twitter, Governor Murphy actually answered a question for me on News 12 the other night. Thank you, Scott Wells, for getting me that info. I do appreciate it. Facebook.com/AGCraftBeerCast. All kinds of other places, including the Hopped Up Network, where you can listen to the program a few minutes after it ends over at the HoppedUpNetwork.com. You can download and listen to the show at your leisure. We will get to the Governor Murphy quote in a few minutes. But coming up in 10 minutes, Jeremy Kosmicki, the beer master at Founders Brewing, is going to join me. Chocolate Cherry KBS, you don't want to miss it. It's a great interview with Jeremy. And then Ann Riley, the executive director of the New York City Brewers Guild, will join me. I will give you a caveat on this one. My equipment screwed up while I was taping the interview with Ann, and the last few minutes of the interview gets cut off. But we get all the pertinent information in there. So, Ann, I thank you for that, and also can't wait to see you on February 25th for the kickoff to New York City Beer Week. Can you believe that we have been doing this show for 7 years? 7 years as of this weekend. We started back in 2016. Lo and behold, after a few months, we found out I had cancer, got treated, but still never stopped this show. You know, we've had a few best ofs here and there, but for the most part, it has been a 1 hour extravaganza about beer, and I cannot be happier about that. And just when I thought that, you know, maybe it's time to end this thing, there is always something that is going on that makes this show more and more exciting. And when I tell you the bands that are going to be playing at the Atlantic City Beer and Music Festival coming up June 3rd and 4th at Bader Field, you are going to be blown away. And you're going to want to get your tickets because it's definitely going to sell out. Now, let's dive into beer news. First up, we've got Imprint Beer Company. They have expanded a portion of their space in Pennsylvania in a big way. They're opening their first ever Brewcade. They've dubbed it the Narcadium. It's a 1,200-square-foot activity space, formerly utilized as their original tap room. It's been converted to a retro arcade gaming space, complete with custom lighting and a variety of other options. It'll feature 10 retro arcade games to start. They will change them up from time to time. You're going to have Double Dragon, Mortal Kombat, The Simpsons, Area 51, along with several pinball games, a dartboard, a pool table, shuffleboard, multiple new televisions. Now, in addition to this, Imprint will now be open 5 days a week. Wednesday through Sunday. Wednesday through Friday open at 5 p.m. Saturday and Sunday they'll be open at noon. They'll have special hours provided for certain sporting events. They're going to have, and here's the best part, 0 feet of play anything. So all you got to do is buy food or drink at the Narcadium at Imprint, and you can play for as long as you want. Now, it's 21 and older, with the exception of noon to 5 p.m. on weekends, which is all ages. It can. There's 10 tables, 35 seats in there. They can comfortably handle 70 guests, excuse me. And if you're looking to book your own private party there, just give them a shout via email, support@imprintbeer.com. Isn't it nice that in other places they can have nice things, as opposed to New Jersey, which we'll get to in a moment. And in the spirit of giving, Craft Beer Marketing Awards, the Crushies, they've announced 100% of all proceeds of their new category Best Beer Brewing Related Tattoo will be donated to the Michael James Jackson Foundation. It's an organization that funds scholarship awards to Black, Indigenous, and people of color within the brewing and distilling trades for a more just, equitable, and dynamic future. By the way, the deadline for entries has been extended to February 14th, Valentine's Day. breweries, agencies, artists, and marketing partners, all invited to enter their best work. Go to the craftbeermarketingawards.com, and you can enter your beer-related marketing item, best podcast, best beer tattoo, beer-related tattoo, whatever you want. Again, the deadline, February 14th, craftbeermarketingawards.com for more information there. Our good friends from Trogs have announced the release of Hop Horizon. That's a seasonal IPA to usher in the spring season. That's right, spring just around the corner. If you've been in the Northeast, you really haven't seen too much of winter right now, knock on wood. Now in its second year, Hop Horizon, an integral part of the brewery's popular Hop Cycle lineup of seasonally rotated IPAs. It also includes favorites like Field Study and Blizzard of Hops. This juicy IPA starts with a subtle blend of pale malt, sweet notes. The real essence of Hop Horizon originates from a combination of Citra, Mosaic, and Sabro hops. It has juicy waves of citrus, a hint of bubblegum, and a pop of tropical fruit. It clocks in at 6.5% ABV. It is available on draft and in 12-ounce bottles and cans everywhere Trogs beer is sold. Now, when someone of my age asks what was your first craft beer, the response I'll always give is Samuel Adams. And for years, Sam Adams was really the only craft beer that you could get in the Northeast aside from Sierra Nevada's pale ale. But now times and tastes, of course, changed. And let's be fair, Samuel Adams, the original, has lost some of its luster over the last 20 years. So how does a brewery revitalize a heritage beer name that's become forgotten? Because let's face it, you go into a bar, you're not buying a Sam Adams most of the time. Maybe you buy that one of their, maybe you get one of their one-offs, but usually you're not buying it, right? So one approach is to change the recipe, which New Belgium did recently with Fat Tire Ale. I'm not a fan of New Belgium's Fat Tire, and I also think the can looks like a Miller Lite can, but whatever, I digress. But Samuel Adams is taking a similar approach now. So this past January 30th, Boston Beer Company announced it is remastering its iconic Samuel Adams Boston Lager. They are still using Jim Cook's great-great-grandfather's mid-19th century original recipe, but they've added a process to reduce filtration using a traditional German practice of biological acidification, resulting in a brighter, easier drinking beer. So it's not going to be as dark as it would be in the glass. And as Cook says, we'd like to say we know there's a perfect Boston lager out there. We just haven't made it yet. To this day, he still tastes each batch of Boston lager to ensure it reaches the brand's high-quality standards. With Remaster, Cook says, we're one step closer to perfection. We cleaned up the brewing process to create an easier drinking profile, giving it an extra sparkle that drinkers will savor. Anytime you crack open a Boston Lager, you know you're going to enjoy a rich, full-flavored beer. When you first crack open a Boston Lager Remastered, you might say, this is the best Boston Lager I've ever had. They're going to have a Super Bowl ad that I believe is 30 seconds. It'll air on the big game February 12th in six markets, including New York, Phoenix, Cincinnati, Philadelphia, Atlanta, and, of course, Boston. You can check out a 60-second ad that is out now if you do a search. We'll see. I'm sort of a little skeptical here. I'm sure it's going to taste good. I just hope that it gets the response that they're looking for. I think Boston Lager is one of the best beers out there. It's a classic. Sometimes you don't muck with a classic. You know what I mean? And consistency is key. Jim Cook told me that in an interview on this very show years ago, that why is Budweiser so popular? Because Budweiser tastes exactly the same whether you buy it in New York, California, Japan, Germany, wherever it is, Budweiser tastes exactly the same. That's what you want, consistency. Any brewer will tell you that. Our friends from Zigmeister, they're having their Stout Fest. That's February 18th, back and better than ever. 50 varieties of stouts throughout the day, an event you do not want to miss at Zigmeister. The Stout Fest 2023 taking place on February 18th, 50 varieties of stouts. Pretty cool. Big Brew New Jersey, Saturday, March 4th at the Morristown Armory. Two sessions. One is noon to 4. The other is 5:30 to 9:30 p.m. BigBrewNJ.com. 21 and older with picture ID. In order to get your tickets, go to the website BigBrewNJ.com. Music by the Outcrops in the first session. Music by Mr. Lovejoy in the second session. Allison always puts on a great event. Cannot wait to go to that. Again, as we've mentioned, New York City Brewers Guild, NYC Brewed, the kickoff to Beer Week. That's Saturday, February 25th. Ann Raleigh's going to talk more about that in just a couple of minutes. Then it runs through Sunday, March 5th. Industry City, between 33rd and 34th Street, a short walk from the DNNR MTA spot. It is going to be great. A lot of great breweries that are going to be there locally. Six Point, Wild East, Single Cut, Fifth Hammer, Evil Twin, Finback, Five Boroughs, Flagship, Killsborough, Torch and Crown, Wild East, tons of great breweries. Mortalis, from out of state, Voodoo Brewing, Timber Rails, who else? Jay Wakefield, Human Robot, North Park. It's going to be awesome. Get there. It's going to be great. NYCBrew.com for tickets. Now, the Atlantic City Beer and Music Festival. Guess the bands that are going to be playing. Well, you don't have to guess anymore. It's out there, right? They announced the lineup on February 1st. ACBeerFest.com for tickets. Here's the deal. Session 1, Saturday, 2 to 6 p.m., Dropkick Murphys. That's right. Dropkick Murphys. Session 2, Sunday, noon to 4, 311. That is going to be an epic event. Tickets are on sale now. $70 for general admission, $149 for VIP. Hopstrot is $110. Group sales of 10 or more, $62. Of course, all of them have taxes and fees. Prices go up again on April 1st. ACBeerFest.com. John and his folks over at Good Time Tricycle Productions put on awesome events. It's going to be epic. I cannot wait for June 3rd. I can't wait. It's going to be awesome. The Dropkick Murphys are going to kick serious butt. Well done. John and crew, well done. Absolutely well done. Now, finally, before we take a break, Governor Murphy has a segment on News 12. It's called Ask Governor Murphy. The other day, they said, oh, send in questions. I've been sending in questions. I've been tweeting them. You all know this since last summer, since all of these ridiculous rules got put back into place since 2019. They were suspended. They were never really suspended. They weren't enforced, whatever, blah, 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 yada, yada. So here, I have an opportunity to ask Governor Murphy a question. And thanks to News 12 and Eric Landskroner, he asked Governor Murphy my question via Twitter. And here it is.
Governor, here's one from Albert. Albert says, why won't you use an executive order to get rid of the restrictions on New Jersey breweries? You've been hurting the segment of small business since last July. Please address this ASAP.
Albert, with all due respect, hurting the segment, those parameters were meant to put in place in 2019, I believe. Albert, I would like to do it by executive order. I can't. But as I mentioned in my State of the State address, I am committed to working with the legislature for liquor license reform overall, including for restaurants and bars. But specifically, I mentioned I'm on the side of the craft brewers and the wineries. We want to open up all the constraints that are currently on breweries. It's a silly place to be, given we're one of the hottest states in the country in terms of craft beer and a new wave of really good wine. Let's take advantage of that. Let's own that space as opposed to constrain that space. So help's on the way, Albert.
Well, all right. So let me answer that. And thank you, Governor Murphy, for answering the question. And I'll answer it quick because we do have to take a break. Number one, why you threw the wineries in there? I have no idea. The wineries can have food. Breweries can't, right? Wineries can do a lot more than what breweries can. And when he says he can't get rid of it by executive order, he's lying. He's wrong. The director of the ABC serves at the bequest of the governor, right? The governor can wipe all this out instantly with the stroke of a pen. He knows that. He's lying. He's lying. He can do that. He enacted the rules. He approved them along with the ABC. He approved them, okay? The person who's the commissioner of the ABC is appointed by the governor. Bottom line. Now, I heard through various sources, which I won't reveal, that there were bills ready to go to help the breweries last year. Murphy said, no, don't put them on my desk. I'm not going to sign them because I have big plans. And his big plans is to revamp liquor license laws. Great idea, Governor. The problem is in the execution. The restaurant lobby is going to throw a ton of money at the legislature, and I guarantee you nothing is going to happen. You have the ability to get rid of this with the stroke of a pen. Okay? You could put a moratorium on it for 6 months. If nothing happens, the rules go back into effect. You're hurting a segment of small business that contributes $1 billion annually to the state's tax coffers. I don't buy that answer when he says, I can't get rid of it by executive order. Yes, you can. You can. Okay? That's the bottom line. I'm all for liquor license reform. I'm all for doing those things. But unfortunately, that's not going to happen overnight. That's a bigger argument. He could have taken care of most of this stuff. The legislature could have taken care of most of this stuff 3 months ago. We could have been moving forward. Instead, we're falling further behind. Not a good thing. But thank you for answering the question. When we come back after a short break, and thank you to News 12 for that. When we come back after a short break, Jeremy Kosmicki, the beer master at Founders Brewing, will join me. This is the Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970, The Answer. Welcome back to the Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970, The Answer. You can follow me very easily on all those great social media outlets like Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. We're on Facebook, of course, facebook.com/AGCraftBeerCast, Instagram at Gattulo. You can email me as well, the old-fashioned way, albertg@nycradio.com. It's amazing, the old-fashioned way. But anyway, don't forget iTunes, Google Podcasts. You do a search for AG Craft Beer Cast. You'll find the shows on those platforms. We're on Odyssey. We're on iHeartRadio. We're on Alexa as well on Amazon. Or you can head over to the Hopped Up Network. A couple minutes after the live show ends, you can listen to the podcast version of this show, download and listen to it whenever you feel like it over at thehoppedupnetwork.com. Now, my next guest, he's been a guest on the show before. He's the brewmaster of Founders Brewing. He's been brewing for Founders for a very long time now and have consistently put out some amazing beers. We've talked about them. We've had many of the members of Founders on this show before. And tonight we're talking with him about a new version of KBS Kentucky Breakfast Stout with chocolate and cherry in this version of KBS, which sounds delicious. Now, for more info, just head over to foundersbrewing.com. Let me welcome back to the Craft Beer Cast, Jeremy Kosmicki. Jeremy, how are you?
I'm doing great, man. How about yourself?
I'm doing very well. So let's dive right into it. It's a new version of KBS, and I don't recall Founders ever releasing a version like this before. How would you describe this beer to someone?
So this was a fun one. Kind of inspired by, like, you know, the cherry cordial candies. It's got some nice little hint of tartness from that cherry. Mm-hmm. And of course, the chocolate just brings, you know, layers of rich, some sweetness. But, you know, I wasn't heavy-handed with it. This is not, you know, I'm trying to be careful with KBS because it's just got so many, you know, great nuanced flavors of its own that I still want to shine through. So, you know, I didn't club it over the head here with cherries. So, I mean, cherries can be tough, too. You know, if you get too heavy-handed with them, they can get a little bit, you know, kind of that cough medicine type character. So I was trying to be aware of that. I think we got a really nice balance dialed in there.
Nobody wants to drink Robitussin when they're drinking their beer, that's for sure. Now,
I wouldn't think so.
No, but how long did this particular beer sit in the barrels to mature to the point where you could bottle and sell it?
You know, it's about a year. It's about a year. We found that that's pretty much the sweet spot at the temperature that we're aging these things at. And after about a year, you know, maybe 10 months you could push it to, and you can go 14 months if you have to. So they're in that range.
And where do you know, I mean, speaking from a brewer's standpoint, when you're testing, and obviously as you've got it in the barrel and it's maturing over the months, where are the points where you're testing it? Is it sort of like a 3, 6, 12 kind of thing, or is it just sort of when the fancy strike, oh, we've got this in the bottle, we've marked it down on this date, and this is when I kind of need to check it and see where it's at?
Yeah, well, back in the days, when we were, you know, not so familiar, we would check it every couple months. Mm. And just, you know, over time, we've kind of learned that 1 year mark is a sweet spot. Right. You get it, you know, 8, 9 months, it's not quite ready yet. So okay. We're patient, and we look at that brand calendar and say, all right, we got to get this stuff in the wood.
We're talking with Jeremy Kosmicki, the brewmaster of Founders Brewing. Chocolate Cherry KBS available at both tap rooms now. It'll be hitting store shelves right around Valentine's Day. You want to check that out. For more info, just head over to foundersbrewing.com. As we're here on the Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970, The Answer. So, Jeremy, when you're making beers like KBS and you're thinking of ideas for a variant, does an idea pop into your head when you're out, say, eating or something, and you say to yourself, this would be perfect in KBS? Walk me through sort of the process as to how you think that this is the next thing that should be the variant.
Yeah, well, you know, these inspirations come from a lot of different places. Like you mentioned, other things that I eat and drink, I'm definitely thinking about, you know, beers that exist that I need to variant on, riff on, or brand new ideas. A lot of times, you know, the marketing team has some ideas of stuff that they'd like to see, and, you know, I kind of have to filter those ideas because they can, you know, they're not brewers, they're just They think as crazy as they can, so I kind of have to rein them in a little bit sometimes and be like, wow, guys, actually, that's creative and all, but I don't know if that's quite what I want to do with KBS. So I've been trying to, you know, stick with flavors that kind of just work with what's already going on with that, with the chocolate, with the coffee, and just try to amp onto those flavors as opposed to, you know, throw in some, I don't know, fish or something there. Not that my marketing team thinks they want to fish KBS yet, but just in case.
Maybe.
You know, that would be one that I would write off.
But let me, is it difficult, though, to come up with new ideas for beers, Jeremy? Or do you have like a list of recipes sitting around somewhere of things that you eventually want to make? Like you're making all these different things, and then maybe there's a recipe that you've had written down from years ago, maybe when you were a home brewer or whatever, that you want to try?
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty long list, and I find myself having to go back sometimes and be like, oh, man, what about that beer? Is it time for that beer? Because a lot of these beers, they're created ahead of their time, and the consumer's not quite ready. But in this industry, things change quickly, and it's a little bit cyclical, too. So, you know, it might be time to go back and revisit some of these things that maybe were cool 15, 20 years ago and kind of fell out of style. So, yeah, keep that list going.
Yeah, and see, you know, that's an interesting thing when you talk about that, of beers that have gone out of style, and maybe you come across one from a different brewer and you taste it and you go, oh, wow, you know what? This would make a great founder's beer to kind of, you know, let me play off of this and sort of riff on that recipe because it's something that maybe you've done before, right?
Definitely. Yeah, I love, I do that a lot when I'm out drinking other people's beers. You know, and you know, not that I'm a copycat or something, but people just get inspired by each other. And when I say something that I really like, I'm like, wow, I think I could do a version like that. And you know, and you can try to do it your own style and then the best you can. But yeah, that inspiration's everywhere out there.
We're talking with Jeremy Kosmicki. He's the brewmaster of Founders Brewing. Chocolate Cherry KBS, that's the new variant. It's available at both tap rooms in Michigan right now. It'll be hitting the store shelves right around Valentine's Day. Perfect Valentine's beer. Come on now. For more info, just go to foundersbrewing.com. We're here on the Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970, The Answer. So then the next question I have for you, Jeremy, is there a beer style that you haven't made that you would like to make? And if so, what would that be?
Well, you know, I haven't made a lot of lagers in my day. The craft industry has been kind of dominated by ales since I got in. In fact, it was almost like craft came around as a revolution of ale.
Sure.
Because lager was, you know, the Budweisers of the world everybody knew. So I don't have a lot of experience there, but I am kind of getting into them again these days. Hmm. I think there's just a lot of different styles out there that American brewers haven't really, gotten a hold of yet. And, you know, I think there's just what Americans did to ales was, you know, Americanize them. We got our own hops in there. We pushed the envelope and, we haven't really got to that lager yet. So, there's quite a few different styles I think are refreshing and could put a fun twist on them. So that's kind of what I got on my radar for working on some small batch stuff and seeing if the consumer's ready to you know, get into that.
Well, that's pretty awesome because I do think one of the positive things that has come out of the pandemic is the fact that because brewers had so much time, since stores weren't open, you know, breweries weren't open, tap rooms weren't open, that they had time to put beers like lagers to put in a tank for a long period of time and let it sit because they knew they had the time to mature it instead of trying to crank out an IPA every 3 weeks because they needed sales. So I think that's great that we're sort of coming back to that. Like you said, it's sort of cyclical that we're coming back to the lager style. So that, I would love to see a lager from Founders. I think that's really cool. Now, last question from me. Is there one beer that you made in the past but have never made again for Founders and the powers that be say to you, Jeremy, you can bring that beer back? Which beer would that be and why?
Well, how about, man, we used to make just a dry hopped pale ale. That was one of our original beers. And, you know, much like Sierra Nevada and had their flagship pale ale. And was, you know, that pale ales were the thing back in the day. And and then they're not so cool anymore as IPAs got more popular and, you know, kind of a more extreme version of the pale. But, man, I love pale ales. And you make so many IPAs. And you drink so many IPAs, and your palate just kind of wants to get back to something a little more subtle sometimes. So I loved that beer, and that's another one. In addition to lagers, I like to see just regular pale ales come back and be cool. So I liked our recipe. It was Cascade. I had a little Centennial in the dry hops, classic American hops, and I'd love to run that thing again.
That's pretty awesome. My guest has been Jeremy Kosmicki. He's the brewmaster of Founders Brewing Chocolate Cherry KBS. It's available at both tap rooms now in Michigan. It's going to be hitting store shelves right around Valentine's Day. For more info, just go to foundersbrewing.com. You can put in the search, and it'll tell you where your local retailer will have it. Jeremy, thanks so much for joining me tonight. Very much appreciate it.
It was a pleasure, as always.
You got it. Up next, it's time for Ann Reilly, the executive director of the New York City Brewers Guild. She's going to join me right after the break on the Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970, The Answer. Welcome back to the Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970, The Answer. Of course, you can follow me on all those great social media places like Twitter, at Al Gattulo, Instagram, at Gattulo, GATTULLO, Facebook.com/AGCraftBeerCasts. We're on iTunes. We're on Google Podcasts. We're on Alexa. We're on iHeart, Odyssey, all those great places. And, of course, the Hopped Up Network. Head over to thehoppedupnetwork.com. You can check out the podcast version of the show a couple minutes after the live show ends. You can download it and listen to it whenever you feel like. Now, New York City Beer Week is back. It's a couple of weeks away. My next guest on the program here to talk all about it, the Kickoff Bash, one session, takes place on Saturday, February 25th at a new location, Industry City in Brooklyn on the north side of the campus between 33rd and 34th Street. It's a short walk from the DNNR train stops. One early session. It starts at 12 for the VIP, goes till 5. General admission starts at 2 o'clock, goes till 5 o'clock. NYCBrewed.com. That's the website for more info as well as a link to purchase tickets there. Let me welcome back to the program Ann Reilly, the executive director of the New York City Brewers Guild. Ann, how are you?
I'm well, thank you, Al. Thanks for being such a massive supporter of the New York City Brewers Guild and all of our breweries.
Always, always. And I am so excited that it's almost here. So talk to me about this brand new venue, Industry City, for the event. This is more than just an event space, though, correct?
It is. So that's one of the benefits of us having it at Industry City is two of our member breweries actually have tap rooms right there, literally across 34th Street in Building 6 and 7.
Oh, very cool. Oh, so it's separated by, so there's different buildings to Industry City, essentially.
Yes. Yeah, they have courtyards, and then they also have streets that aren't really open to through traffic. So it's a really great space for people to walk around, spend the day. In addition to the food vendors that we will have at the festival, there's an entire food hall at Industry City.
Oh, awesome. All right, so we're going to get to the food vendors in a minute, but there's I know one of the things that that you guys had put out before the announcement of the venue was a collaboration beer. So who is hosting the brewing? What kind of beer is it for the collaboration beer?
Well, this year we are there's not a collaboration beer, unfortunately. Oh. There are what we've done in the past, smash beers that will be taking place for the Rupert's Cup, and okay, a lot of our breweries do collaborate on that. So the final day of New York City Beer Week is Sunday, March 5th, right, and that's going to be hosted at Endless Life. And that's where we have a number of breweries that are farm breweries who use exclusively New York ingredients, and typically a smash beer is either single malt, single hop, or state malt, state hop. Sometimes it's all the way around, single state malt and single state hop.
Wow, that's cool. So, the whole thing is New York centric, which is awesome. That is pretty cool.
Exactly.
We're talking with Ann Reilly. She's the executive director of the New York City Brewers Guild. The Kickoff Bash, there's one session. It takes place Saturday, February 25th at Industry City in Brooklyn. It's on the north side of the campus between 33rd and 34th Streets. It's a short walk from the DNNR train stop. There's one early session. If you get the VIP, that starts at noon. It goes till 5 o'clock. The general admission starts at 2 p.m. until 5 p.m. NYCBrewed.com is the website for more info as well as to purchase tickets. We're here on the Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970, The Answer. So let's talk entertainment. I believe there is a DJ that'll be spinning some wax in just a few weeks in Industry City. Who will that be?
So, yes, we are having this fantastic DJ. He's got a great connection to the New York City Brewers Guild and our breweries. He's based in Philly, but definitely works with a ton of our teams. And then we're also working on something pretty special behind the scenes. Anyone who has attended one of our Member Brewery Other Half events, they know that wrestling is also a big part of that. And we're working to make that happen this year, too, at Opening Bash.
Oh.
So little tie-over from people who are familiar with Pastry Town will definitely be familiar with some of the entertainment happening this year.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. Now, I know, obviously, some great local breweries are going to be there, like Wild East and Talea, Flagship, Killsboro, Torch and Crown, Other Half, obviously, just to name a few. I know there's a bunch of places from out of state that are attending. Anybody in particular that's out of state that's attending that you're looking forward to tasting in?
There's so many. We're looking to have between 70 and 80 breweries, 40 from New York City, and 30 to 40 guests. Some of the great guest breweries that not a lot of people have had the opportunity to try. Jappas, those women were here this summer doing a number of events.
Jappas of Osseria.
Exactly.
That's awesome. Oh, I interviewed those ladies. They are fantastic. I had a great time with them on the Upper East Side or the Upper West Side back in August. They were phenomenal. Oh, that's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they'll be back. Resident Culture, Root and Branch, Mass Landing, Fidens, Forest and Main, Homage, Human Robot. Like, just check out the website and you can see, you know, we're regularly adding to the guest list as well.
That is cool because Root and Branch is now in New Jersey and I've gotten a chance to try a number of their beers and their beers are fantastic. Fidens is great. Human Robot is awesome as well. So that's great. So it's a great mix of great New York City breweries as well as some out-of-state breweries and some breweries from upstate, which is pretty awesome. We're talking with Ann Riley. She's the executive director of the New York City Brewers Guild. The kickoff bash takes place Saturday, February 25th at Industry City in Brooklyn. It's on the north side of the campus between 33rd and 34th Street. It's a short walk from the DNNR train stop, but of course we encourage everyone take mass transit, get an Uber, get a Lyft, because it's a pretty decent long day of drinking. It's an early session. It starts at noon if you get the VIP. It goes till 5 o'clock, or if you do the general admission, that will start at 2 o'clock until 5. NYCbrewed.com, that's the website for more information about the whole event. So I have to apologize here. In the midst of our interview with Ann Riley, my recording device cut out and was unable to record the last couple of minutes of the interview. So I apologize for that. Ann was continuing to talk about how the final event of the week is one of the best events because everybody gets together and sort of uses this, one hop, one grain, all from New York State. And they get together and have this great time at the end of the beer week. But listen, New York City Brewers Guild, the opening bash, it's February 25th. It's at Industry City. It's on the north side of the campus between 33rd and 34th Streets. It's a short walk from the DNR MTA spot. There is going to be great food trucks, great music, maybe a little wrestling as well. NYCbrewed.com is the website for where you can get your tickets. It is noon to 2 is the VIP session, and then 2 to 5 is the general admission session. Get your tickets now. It's going to be a fantastic event, and I thank Ann for coming on the program tonight. Can't wait to see her in a couple of weeks. When we come back after a short break, it's time for Suds and Duds on the Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970 The Answer. Final segment of the Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970 The Answer. I'm shipping up to Boston by the Dropkick Murphys. Oh, man. Are you psyched for Atlantic City? I am. Why isn't it June? Why is it still February? Hey, we're 7 years doing this program. I've been more stoked. And I have to be honest with you, folks. I don't care who's been doing radio for 30 years, whatever. Sometimes when you're doing these things, I don't want to say automatic pilot or you get bored, but sometimes there are times in anything, career, whatever it is, where you sort of get that lull, right? And you're like, I don't know. Can I continue to do this? Can I keep doing this? I've had times in these 7 years where I've said, is this show sustainable? I mean, it's an hour a week. It's on a Sunday night, when we air it live in New York. Or not actually live. It's recorded. I make no bones about that. I record the show during the week. But, I always say to myself, am I energized? Am I, whatever this? And then something just comes along, like this announcement of the Dropkick Murphys and 311 at the Atlantic City Beer and Music Fest, Baderfield, June 3rd and 4th. Something like that comes along and you go, oh, yeah! And you just get fired up. I love that. I love that. And that's the great thing about radio. And that's what I think keeps my juices flowing, is the creativity, that it's always something new. Something is always happening. It's like the news. There's always something going on in the news. Yeah, sometimes you get, oh, yeah, it's the same stuff day after day. But there's always something going on. There's always something new. I love it. I cannot wait now for June. I can't. Counting the days. Checking them off till I go there. Because it's just a weekend of absolute insanity now. It was already going to be a great weekend. It's even more of a, forget it. It's going to be epic. It's just going to be an epic weekend. Anyway, let us dive into Suds and Duds. So the second half of my trip to Florida, well, I was down in Anna Maria Island for a couple of days. Let's start off with a couple of places that I went to. So I went to the Sandbar restaurant. Everybody talked about it. It's on Anna Maria Island. They have a rooftop. You can overlook the beach. You can eat outside. I ended up eating inside because I was out in the sun for a while, and I didn't want to get more sun because I didn't really have a lot of sunscreen on. So while I was there and I had fish tacos, grouper tacos, which were fantastic. Grouper was the big popular fish there for the weekend that I was there. Grandpa Jack's Pils. This is by Crooked Thumb Brewery. Easy drinking Pilsner. I had a long walk on the beach and a portion of the island that I walked around. The perfect beer to kind of quench my thirst and refresh me a little bit before continuing my day. Then I did what was supposed to be a sunset cruise. It turned out to be a dolphin cruise because it was very cloudy and there was not a great sunset. And the captain on the boat of the tour that I went on was phenomenal. Such a great education about dolphins and the sea and everything else. So when I got back, I went over to Hurricane Hank's, which was directly across the street from the brewery. Not directly across, but right there. And I had dinner and had a Zote by Calusa Brewing. Pretty solid hazy. It was a slight bite on this, but a pretty solid hazy. And I didn't realize how close Calusa was. It was a Florida brewery. I think they're in Sarasota. But really, really a delicious beer. I was very happy with that. So then the next day, it was overcast, and it rained in the morning. And I decided that I was going to visit a couple of breweries around there before the football games came on, the first part of the championship games that weekend. So I stopped over at Three Keys Brewing and Eatery. I had a cheeseburger there, and I had a couple of beers there. So the first one I had was the Shut Up About the Sun. Dark and roasty, really good flavors, a Schwartz beer. Excellent. Well done. The next beer that I had was a Yeasty Boys. It was a very much a low-key Hefeweizen. It was flat. It wasn't as good as I was expecting it to be. And to me, if you can't make a Hefeweizen well, then I'm suspect about a lot of stuff. And the Schwartz beer that I had before that was actually good. Then I found out from the waitress there, who was taking care of me, apparently they had just switched brewers, and the brewer was out sick. So they were essentially running out of beer. What I thought was interesting was, at Florida breweries, you can make a cider, you can have food. Again, it's so much different from New Jersey. I hate to keep harping on it, but any place you go outside of New Jersey is just, it's like a breath of fresh air. Then I made a stop over at Magnanimous Brewing, which, I knew they were directly across from the Pittsburgh Pirates affiliate. I didn't realize how good they were because I was more looking forward to Motorworks Brewing, and I was actually disappointed at Motorworks, and we'll get to that in a second. So Magnanimous Brewing, I walk in, sort of a nondescript building, sort of an every type kind of brewery building. This is their satellite operation. They're based out of Orlando. They're directly across the street from where the Pittsburgh Pirates minor league affiliate plays. I pull into the parking lot. I go in. The guy, the beer tender, he's an old school metalhead. It was awesome. Everything he played was between the years 1982 and 1989. Queensryche, Rat, just phenomenal music over and over. Although he was playing Asia when I walked in, which, all right, I'm big fan of Asia, so I was already hooked. But then everything else after that was metal. It was great. So I started off with a Crown, super light, nice and tasty lager. Really, really good. Delicious. Then I had a Brecker beer, good Helles lager. Crisp, nice flavor, excellent. All of these were flights, about 5 ounces. Then I had the Marzanimous. Well done, Marzan. Nice malty flavor, delicious. Then I had a Sorath, best beer of the bunch. Bready, really, really good, dark, excellent beer. I could have stayed there forever, but I wanted to get over to Motorworks, which was literally around the corner from Magnanimous. But I had such a great time at Magnanimous. They have a one-eyed cat there. Well, the beer tender and I had a really great conversation. Place got a little bit filled up. It was sort of empty when I walked in there and then sort of filled up as I was sitting there. Excellent place. I would absolutely go back to Magnanimous. So then I go over to Motorworks Brewing. They're having a big 7th anniversary party. Place is enormous. It used to be a car dealership. It was a Chevy car dealership. They have a big Chevy engine block when you walk in. Place is expansive. Then you go in the back. They have this enormous beer garden. Huge. Place was huge. Could have easily fit 500 people back there. They had some of the brewer owners, whatever. I, again, not a working vacation. Wanted to sit, relax, kind of take my time. Have a couple of beers, maybe have something to eat. They have food trucks outside, so you get this menu, has all these beers, different alcoholic combinations you can do because they have mixed drinks, they have wine, and then you can order from food trucks. I ordered some pretzels. I started off with their Midnight Espresso, one of their signature beers. Big hit of espresso, dark chocolate, excellent, delicious, enjoyed it a lot. Then I had their anniversary beers. Man, was I disappointed. Birthday carrot cake, very pineapple forward. I didn't get any of the elements of the carrots or raisins. The sweetness was all from the pineapple. I think it was overloaded with pineapple. Very disappointed. And a strong beer, too. It was like 12%. I had a taster. Then I had their, they did a, I guess it was a Saison, but it was smoked or whatever. I didn't even list it on my thing. It was not good. I was very disappointed in those two beers. I was really hoping that the anniversary beers were going to be great, especially the carrot cake stuff. I'm not the biggest carrot cake fan. But I was really expecting, like, wow, get blown away. And I was blown away in the other direction. Not good. Sorry. A nice place. Great space. I thought the espresso porter was great. I just was disappointed with the other two beers. Sorry, guys. Just the way it is. And then I had a rake, the Rake by Angry Chair. I bought that in cans. A banging double dry hopped IPA. Juicy. I wanted to bring the other three cans home. Of course, idiot me. Get stopped by TSA because you have to check the beers. You can't bring them in your carry-on. I'm such an idiot. I should have known better. I completely forgot. I had it all in my system. You put it in a bubble wrap envelope. You put it in a Ziploc bag. This way, in case something happens and it explodes, doesn't get all over your clothes. Eh, I said to the guy at TSA, enjoy the beers. And then my last beer in Florida was from Calusa Brewing as well. The Florida flavor, a solid lager, a slight bite, very nice. Had that at the Ugly Grouper. It was freezing on Monday before I left to come home. But the really cool thing is they pour them in these ball aluminum cups that are supposed to stay cold. The beer stayed cold throughout the entire time I drank it. And they're disposable. You can take the cup home. It's a disposable cup. They don't even wash them out. I think that's a fantastic idea. It's recyclable. Put it in a recycling bin, boom. They break it down. They make another cup. Do it back. I was impressed. Calusa Brewing, 2 for 2. Good stuff. Maybe next time I got to get down and check them out. Then I was over, when I got back from Florida, was over at, popped around to a couple different places. Had some beers with one of my neighbors. Then I had a Camel Clutch by Icarus, a Paragon Tap and Table. Nice backbreaking juicy IPA. Had Lorenzo the Beer Cat by Fat Orange Cat. These guys make great beers. And this one was no exception. A banging hazy juicy IPA. Went over to Lion's Roar to check out, meet up with a friend, my buddy Chris. Had a Matibo there. Super light, easy drinking lager. Really nice. Had the All Rise by Ross Brewing. Thank you, John, from Ross Brewing for giving me that one. Straight up hazy juicy. That was delicious. And then I capped it off at Paragon Tap and Table with an All 100,000 Trillion Everything by Other Half. I mean, what an amazing collab. I think this was Other Half and Trillium. Unbelievable. Juicy and hazy for days. A delicious beer. Got to share that with my buddy Feeney and with Sherm, one of the bartenders there. That was an absolute delicious beer. So really a great bunch of beers in Florida. The only ones I was really disappointed with was Motorworks. I was kind of sad about that because I really expected them to be the better brewery. And that's their satellite brewery. They're based out of Orlando. I don't know what happened there, but just was not good. But, folks, we're out of time. My thanks to everybody involved in the program. And my guests as well, Jeremy Kosmicki, the beer master at Founders Brewing, Ann Riley, the executive director of the New York City Brewers Guild. Thank you so much for joining me on the program. Of course, last but not least, the great Buddy Watson. 7 years as a program and onward into year number 8. Thank you, everybody, for joining me on the Alcatulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970. The Answer, and as always, cheers, everybody.
three-star general, Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.